Welcome to Jawa Jabber, a Star Wars podcast dedicated to spreading our own little slice of positivity throughout the galaxy. From the prequels to the sequels to every Disney Plus spinoff they want to throw at us, we're here to celebrate any time we get to spend in our favorite galaxy together, and we want you to come along for the ride. I'm David Wren, joined by my bro hosts Dennis, Kyle, and Matt. We invite you to sit back, relax, and enjoy our fully armed and operational podcast.
And this is Jawa Jabber.
Hello there, Star Wars fans, and welcome to another new episode of Jawa Jabber. I am your supreme leader, David Wren, and I am joined by my best friends and bro hosts, Matt, the radar technician. Hey, at least you can hear me. That's what's important. Kai Nobi.
Hello there.
And last but not least, Dennis the Phantom Menace.
Hello, boys. We have a good time tonight.
Absolutely. Even if this is take 300 of this episode. No. We were having some technical difficulties earlier, but that's okay because we are back and better than ever. All right. So tonight we are just days away from the premiere of the highly anticipated Star Wars series Ahsoka, starring one of our mutual favorite characters, played by one Rosario Dawson. Ahsoka will be in 8-episode season one. And it is a spinoff of The Mandalorian, as it takes place in the same time period as the known Mandoverse, as some people call it. Kyle, you want to tell us a little bit about our directors that we have lined up for Ahsoka?
Yeah, really quickly, we have 6 directors coming onto this season. 2 of them are new to Star Wars. So we've got Dave Filoni working on episodes 1 and 5. Steph Green working on episodes 2 and 3. She's known for the second episode of Book of Boba Fett, which is probably by far and away the best episode of that show. She's also worked on Watchmen. We got Peter Ramsey coming back after his episode for Mando season 3. He's also known for Into the Spider-Verse. Jennifer Getzinger, who's known for Westworld, Mad Men, Daredevil, and Jessica Jones. She's working on episode 6. Geeta Patel, who worked on probably the best episode of House of the Dragon season 1 as well, episode 8. And then she's done Santa Clarita Diet as well. And then none other than Rick Famuyiwa, who's known for about 7 episodes of Mando seasons 1 through 3, and then the movie Dope.
All right. Thanks, Kyle, for letting us know about all the directors that we're going to have in the series Ahsoka. And correct me if I'm wrong, but Dave Filoni wrote all the episodes, right?
Yep. Yeah. Entirely by himself.
I was going to say by himself, right?
Yep.
That's pretty cool. And that's got to be a first, right? Because even with Mando, like season 1, there were different writers, right?
Yeah, Favreau's written most of the seasons by himself, but he's had episodes where Dave wrote, and then Rick wrote episodes, and I think one more person has written episodes. So
okay, yeah, wow, pretty cool. So yeah, I mean, this is definitely Dave Filoni's show. All right, well, and I mean, you know, it goes to say because he did create the character with, you know, George Lucas, the creator of Star Wars. So, and I love that little interview that they're doing with him, and you know, he was like gonna give Ahsoka to like another Jedi or whatever, and he was like, but George said Anakin has a Padawan, and he's like, no, Anakin is a Padawan, he doesn't have a Padawan. And George Lucas was like, no, Anakin has a Padawan. And from that point on, it was like, okay, Anakin has a Padawan.
He still loves Plo Koon. I mean, Plo Koon still shows up whenever he can put him in.
Exactly. We'll have to add that to our cameo roundtable if Plo Koon is going to show up, but that's later on in the episode. Kyle, you want to give us, like, you know, for maybe some of our listeners who might not know who Ahsoka is, or, you know, like, you know, maybe, you know, they haven't watched the cartoons, they haven't watched anything, but they want to watch this show. Obviously, they've seen Mandalorian and stuff, but, like, you want to give us, like, a little brief 2-minute, I don't know, history kind of on Ahsoka?
Yeah, absolutely. So Ahsoka is the Padawan of Anakin Skywalker, as David mentioned. Her debut was in the Clone Wars movie in 2008. And she was not met with a lot of love from the fans, actually quite the opposite. And I think a lot of that turned around for her character because the way Dave and Lucas wrote her, she experienced a lot of struggle. Throughout multiple episodes, you see her lose an entire crew of ships and soldiers. And that was one of the episodes where she kind of experienced what it was like to fail. And that happens a lot throughout the Clone Wars. She's really close with Padme, obviously really close with Anakin and Obi-Wan. That's kind of her crew. And she ended up leaving the Jedi Order. She was framed for murder by Barriss Offee, who was her best friend in the Jedi Order, I would say. And
I hate
she walked away from Anakin. She walked away from Anakin. She walked away from the Jedi Order. And she was in Tales of the Jedi. We saw her take down an Inquisitor in that series of shorts. Mm-hmm. But she ended up assisting the Rebellion shortly before A New Hope. And went under the name as Fulcrum, as a spy, basically. And helped the Rebellion throughout that series. She fought Darth Vader, came to realize that he was Anakin Skywalker, and would have died there, essentially. And Ezra pulled her out in what we call the World Between Worlds. And that's something I think we all hope we'll see in Ahsoka. So he basically saved Ahsoka. But we don't know where her story went between the end of Rebels, the epilogue, where she meets with Sabine and they're on a mission to go find Ezra. We don't know what happened between her appearance there in the epilogue and Mando season 2, where we met her. Hopefully our listeners have seen that, if they're going to watch Ahsoka at least. But we know she's on the hunt for Grand Admiral Thrawn. She's trying to help reunite Ezra with the Ghost crew. And that's basically where we're at with her story.
Yeah, thanks for that recap, Kyle. That's a pretty good. We do better recaps than the the episode people, you know. All right. So, like I said before, Ahsoka is not only a fan favorite character, but for the four of us, she really is one of our favorite characters. I know personally, part of that has to do just because she's Anakin Skywalker's Padawan. I mean, that's kind of how I fell in love with her, because Anakin is my favorite character. So, you know, I was almost automatically invested in her story because of her connection to Anakin, but she really grew to stand on her own. And personally, I have just really liked her growth over the years and how strong she is and how independent she is and how brave she was for walking away from the Jedi Order, you know, even when they retracted, basically their guilt of her. And they were like, no, we're sorry, you were right, please come back to the Jedi. And she was like, no, I need to learn who I am outside of the Jedi. And she had her own adventures. And then, of course, Anakin turned to the dark side, and we all know how that happened. I just really love Ahsoka and how she represents so much to so many different people. And it's not just Ahsoka, but it's also the actresses who portray Ahsoka. Ashley Eckstein, of course, does the voice of Ahsoka in all of the cartoon material. And then we have Rosario Dawson that is bringing her to life in The Mandalorian and now in Book of Boba Fett and Ahsoka. And, you know, they affectionately call each other Team Tano. And that's, you know, us too. Like, it's pretty much everyone. It's the creators, it's the fans, it's everyone. I want to know, what does Ahsoka represent to you guys? Who wants to go first? Dennis, you want to go first?
Sure. Just kind of actually playing with an Ahsoka action figure while you guys are talking.
Of course you are.
It's the one from the Clone Wars when she's fighting Darth Maul. And I just feel like the entire character was initially personified by Ashley Eckstein, but now, like you said, is also part of The Mandalorian and the live action version with Rosario. And I just feel like the person who's behind all this, who Dave Filoni chose in Ashley, really personifies a lot of, and I know it's kind of like a stereotype, but hope hope is like a main theme in almost all of Star Wars. It was with Princess Leia. It's with Ahsoka. It's with pretty much the entire franchise, and bringing hope to people who don't have any, or, you know, bringing some kind of sense of belonging to people in real life situations, I think is really something that's a strong aspect of her character. And I just feel like that's something that Ashley herself kind of personifies in the entire, not just the brand, but everything that she does, right? She even does like Mental Health Mondays or something on Instagram, and where she really puts that character, which is a fictional character, into a real life situation and allows people to kind of connect in that way. I really think it's really important for people, especially these days, to find something or someone where they can feel belonging, they can feel acceptance, and they can feel like somebody sees me. And so I just really feel like Ahsoka, in the way that she responds to things that happen to her throughout the series, whether it's Clone Wars or Rebels or Mandalorian, and now with this Ahsoka series that we're going to be seeing, I think that people really are able to connect with her a lot. And like Kyle said, at the very beginning, there was a lot of hate towards her. There was a lot of hate towards Anakin and towards Hayden at the beginning too, but with time, people have understood kind of like retrospectively how this character brings hope to people in real life situations. And so I feel like that's something that she really brings to this entire franchise. And without her, without that kind of a strong female lead, I think that there'd be a lot of people who would be disenfranchised, if you will, from the entire Star Wars story. And I just think that that's something really important for everybody.
Awesome. Matt, how about you, bud? What does Ahsoka represent to you?
I don't think we can hear you, Matt. Let's just keep recording. Just mark the clip.
Yeah. Yeah. And if he pops back in, maybe we'll... Yeah. All right. Yeah, no, Matt, you're right. Definitely, I agree with what you said about... now, I haven't met Rosario yet, and that's my biggest regret from Celebration this time. But definitely meeting Ashley and her on social media and everything, like, definitely drew me a little more toward the character. Kyle, how about some input from you? What does Ahsoka mean to you? I know you really grew up with the Clone Wars, so I feel like you may have more of a connection to Ahsoka than maybe some of us do.
Kyle's the only one who has a tattoo of her.
I was gonna say that's the first thing. First of all, Kyle is the only person who has an Ahsoka tattoo. So
okay, but
you want to talk about dedication? That's dedication.
But we're all getting an Ahsoka tattoo.
Yeah, but he was the first.
He was the first. Exactly. That's fair.
I think what Ahsoka represents to me. Well, first of all, yeah, I did. The Clone Wars is the first Star Wars I knew. I mean, the prequels. But Clone Wars is what got me through like ages 10 through 17, like through my teenage years. So that's what I consider like my identity as a Star Wars fan. Ahsoka represents to me like finding yourself. She literally left the Jedi Order, which we all know is something that's pretty toxic. You're literally taken as an infant and bred to this weird life of captivity. It's like a cult kind of. And we all know the Jedi has its flaws, but her leaving everything she's known to go out and find her own and meeting the Martez sisters and just coming to terms with who she is, I think that's really great. And that's something that helps people who struggle with mental health. And I think that's why that kind of sector of the population identifies with Ahsoka so much. And she also represents hope. I mean, she didn't want to accept that Anakin was Darth Vader, and said she'll avenge his death and that she was still going to be there for Anakin because that's who she knew. And I really hope out of this show we get to see her grapple with that and the kind of guilt she has for leaving the Order, because ultimately we think that if she stayed with the Order, Anakin never would have turned to the dark side. There's no way of knowing that, but I hope to see her grapple with some of those issues in the show.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I know that we're gonna mention it in a little bit, but yeah, there's no way Anakin is not making some kind of a cameo in this. And I'm not just saying that because he's my favorite character, but I feel like because he's such an important part of Ahsoka's story, like, even though it's down a ways in the timeline, I don't think there's a way they could do it without Anakin. I don't know if you guys agree with me or not, but that's kind of my take on it.
I mean, she's his Padawan. Right. So, I mean, like, how can you, especially for people who haven't necessarily seen all the animated series,
right,
for them to understand that, at least through a flashback or something.
And they threw him in the trailer.
Right. At least his voice, right, and all the things that he said. Yeah.
Right. So, but that was Hayden's voice. That was Hayden's voice. Like,
so I think we would agree with you in that that's something that's integral to her story.
And it's funny because go ahead, Kyle.
Oh, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was going to say, like, I thought it was awesome with that little trailer and, you know, how it was Hayden re-recording some of Matt's lines, because in the last couple episodes of the Clone Wars, when Ahsoka was on the ship, like right before Order 66, they had Hayden kind of, they had Matt kind of re-record some of Hayden's lines from Revenge of the Sith, and then they kind of merged the two voices together. And I remember, like, being like, oh, that's so cool that they're kind of merging the two actors together. And yeah, you know, they're kind of doing,
I remember
the
that
same
episode
thing now
that we did. Yep. We talked about that.
I was gonna say we talked about that a lot on one of our episodes. Yeah. And that was a really cool thing for me to have Matt say some of Hayden's dialogue, and now Hayden's getting a chance to say some of Matt's dialogue, and it's, you know, I don't know, I just think it's really cool. I love how it all connects. And
he brought a lot of gravitas to that little
mm-hmm.
piece of dialogue in the trailer. Like, he really hits that home, I think. That's kind definitely of a credit to, like, how his acting's grown. And I mean, I don't know if you guys remember, he wanted to voice Anakin in the Clone Wars. Like, yeah, Hayden was pushing for that, and then they kept,
right. They
I don't know why
they didn't let
that
him. Right?
Yeah, I don't know why. But
I know that
he did
yeah,
great.
No, I did know that, and I feel like it. I don't know. Like, maybe it had something to do with the fact that they recasted everyone. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. You know, I mean, I like Matt's portrayal of Anakin.
Either way, yeah, it worked out great. But having them mix it together now, it's awesome.
Oh, yeah, no, it's fantastic. I love it. Just for our listeners to know, unfortunately, Matt is having some technical difficulties that the radar technician is unable to fix himself, so he will not be with us for the rest of this episode, unfortunately. We might get some of his feedback in this episode somehow, but just so you guys know, he didn't fall asleep, we're having some technical difficulties. He's out in the outer rim and the signal not as good.
Like, a communications disruption can only mean one thing, right? What would that be?
Invasion.
Well, there you go.
So. Great. That means the Russians are coming. Oh, boy. All right. So this is a question that we came up with, and I'm having difficulty trying to figure this out. So I want the two of you to answer first. What is your favorite show featuring Ahsoka?
Oh, gosh. Kyle, I'm deferring this to you for a moment. I got some time to think.
Clone Wars for me, this is going to be Ahsoka's fifth show, and I have a feeling this might be my favorite. But right now, Clone Wars all the way. Rebels is really inching up on me. I've always loved the show, especially season 4 is something that really brought some emotion out of me when I watched it for the first time. And this rewatch, it's just so deep. And to me, like, they're two very different shows, because I don't know if you guys knew this either, but Rebels is what Dave Filoni wanted for the Clone Wars originally. When Dave started drafting the story for the Clone Wars, he didn't know that he was allowed to use characters like Obi-Wan and Anakin. He thought they were off limits. So he wrote a story about this kind of ragtag group of people. They're just trying to survive in the universe with this whole war going on. And now that that's kind of his story, I love Rebels because the filler isn't really filler. Like, it all really impacts the characters. When Sabine goes off and does something on her own that you consider a filler episode, it really advances her story and your understanding of her character.
Mm-hmm.
Same thing for Zeb and Ezra and everybody. Whereas in the Clone Wars, again, it's a different show. It's not just about one specific group of people, whereas it's the Republic versus the Separatists. But those filler episodes in Clone Wars are kind of just fun 22-minute Cartoon Network episodes. And that's fine, but I just love that Rebels has so much depth to it in the episodes that you wouldn't expect.
Yeah, that's very true, Kyle. And I don't think enough people give Rebels enough credit, you know? Like, I think people, you know, some people are turned off by the animation. And yeah, but like, the story is there. The depth of it, it's just, it's so good. All right, Dennis.
Well, favorite, I mean, I would have
favorite Ahsoka appearance.
I'd have to agree with Kyle. I mean, Clone Wars all the way. I think that's where she began, and that's where for a long time we thought that's where she ended, right? Until Clone Wars came back, and then we had season 7, and like I mentioned before, I was playing with that action figure a moment ago. Now I'm playing with the Rosario version from Mandalorian, but I was just, you know, really impressed on how they developed her character, developed the animation style. I mean, you know, in our chat, in our Loathpack chat, you know, we always talk about how certain people like Matt or Dan, you know, they really, really are into the autographs, right? And so like the animation of Ahsoka in season 7 with Maul, with everything that happened with the end of the Clone Wars, that really hit home a lot, especially, you know, when we had that episode a long while back about victory and death, right? So that that episode was really instrumental in how I viewed Ahsoka, and that relationship she still had with Anakin while he was Vader. So that was really something where I feel like I'm more drawn to Clone Wars. I obviously love Rebels too. I've probably watched it 3 times all the way through, and I'm rewatching it again now. And like you said, David, people get turned off by the animation style, but I know people were turned off by that at the beginning of Clone Wars too, and it just evolved into something better and more fluid. And as the technology progressed, it got better. And I think some people really just overlook it because it's animation. They think, oh, it's a cartoon, it's for kids or whatever. But the depth of the storyline, regardless of how it is portrayed, whether it's animation or live action, can really have an effect on whoever's viewing it, right? The audience, the emotional impact that it has for the characters and for the story. I think Dave Filoni's done a fantastic job, along with George Lucas back when they did the Clone Wars, to be able to bring her character out and to actually allow people to connect with her and not just make it seem like, oh, it's just a cartoon, when it's a lot more than that if you really dive into the actual storyline. And of course, there's stuff included in there for kids, and that's great because then you can share it with different generations of your family, right? You can share this love and this passion for this franchise with younger kids, with older kids, with adults, and, you know, kind of grow in that aspect. And I really love both. It's really hard to choose, but I'd have to choose Clone Wars, but Rebels too. And when she came back, you know, it was just something like everybody was, you know, oh, Ahsoka's back. And now, you know, we're moving forward with this Ahsoka series now. I think, like Kyle said, this is going to be even another building block on our love for this character.
Well, yeah, and you know how, you know, Ahsoka really should have been called Rebels Season 5. You know, we all know that anyway. But
yeah,
I'm going to go with an unpopular opinion, I think. It's not that I, you know, don't love Rebels. I do, especially more with every rewatch. And I mean, I have grown to love the Clone Wars. As you guys know from previous episodes, it wasn't always my cup of tea at first. I did usually like, you know, I was a fan of Ahsoka. And again, like I said, though, like really, you know, Ashley being such an advocate for Ahsoka really kind of drew me to that character also. But my so far favorite appearance of Ahsoka, I'm going to go with Book of Boba Fett. I just really liked that episode. I liked that it kind of tied to the sequel trilogy. I liked that R2 was there. And that moment with Luke Skywalker, with Rosario, and like, I don't know. I just remember being so enthralled by it when it first aired. And like, I just remember like the look that she gave him, you know, you're so much like your father, and like the look that Luke gives her. And it's like, this is the show that I want. Like, I love Mando. I love Grogu and all that. But like, I want to see Ahsoka with Luke. I want to see, you know, like, maybe did Ahsoka help train Luke? Like, you know, is, you know, whatever. It was just like that moment. And then, I mean, earlier in that episode when Mando shows up and, you know, Ahsoka's there and she's like, oh, yeah, Grogu's here, but you can't see him yet. Like, you know, she was just playful and whatever, like with R2 and stuff. And I just like, I thought it was just a great, I don't know. So that, I'm going to go with that's my favorite so far. It will probably end up being this Ahsoka series because, you know, we've all wanted it for so long and now we're getting it. And the panel that we saw at Celebration, like, you know, the hype is just 100% and I love it.
I totally get your like love for that aspect of her in Mandalorian and in Book of Boba Fett. I'm sorry, Book of Boba Fett. Those two blend so often because of what they did.
I know, I agree.
But I totally get it, and that whole interaction between her and Luke really reminds you a lot of Anakin. And so yeah. No wonder it's one of your favorite.
Right. And like, the crazy part is when you really want to dissect it, like, you know, that's a CGI actor. You know what I mean? In that moment, not Ahsoka, but like for Luke, like, you know, they have, you know, the whatever they call it, the technology, the deep fake or whatever. And like, you know, they have another actor and, you know, so like it's pretty CG'd, but like that moment, I mean, yeah, probably because I'm such an Anakin Skywalker fan, but it just hit me and it was like, okay, this is what I want. Like, I want to know what Ahsoka was up to. I want to know. And I think we'll get some of those flashback type things in this series. And then of course, you know, the series going forward, you know, we'll see.
There's absolutely no doubt in my mind that those lines were, if not suggested, at least written by Dave Filoni.
Oh, yeah.
You know, because he knows that character. He created that character. I almost said George Filoni, so that was almost a mistake.
Well, but, I mean, you know, they kind of... Yeah.
Yeah.
But, all right, so now that we're talking about Ahsoka, the series, how about like, what are you guys most looking forward to out of this series? Kyle, let's start with you. Like, I know, you know, you've probably been with this character the longest, like, cause I know I didn't watch Clone Wars when it first came out. I don't think Dennis did either. I mean, you literally grew up with Ahsoka. Not to plug your age there again, but like, you know, like what are you most looking forward to about this series?
I kind of touched on it earlier, but I really want to see Ahsoka struggle a little bit. She's definitely a more wise and mature character. But the episodes in the Clone Wars where she kind of had to figure things out on her own were really, really well done. Mm-hmm. And when I say struggle, I mean, I want to see how she found out Anakin turned back to the light, or if he did at all. Like if she found that out at all, I mean, I'm assuming Luke told her. I want to see her reaction to that.
I would hope that Luke would have told, you know what I mean? Like,
or if she found it out from somebody else. I mean, I don't know, but I really want to see her come to terms with the fact that, like, no matter what, if she stayed with the Order or not, Anakin would have turned evil. Like, that was his destiny, that was his fate, that's what led to him being the chosen one and restoring balance of the Force. That had to happen. It's almost like a canon event from Spider-Verse. So I want to see her come to terms with that and stop blaming herself for it, because I know she does. And I also kind of want to see Anakin face some atonement. You know what I mean? Like, he put Ahsoka through a lot, and it's a character we all love. But she's got to have some trauma from fighting him in Rebels Season 2. And I kind of want to see her, like, go off on him a little bit and make him atone for the mistakes he's made. And that those are just a few things I hope to see from the show and that whole master and apprentice theme that the marketing's been hitting on.
Yeah, I feel like, especially once they've been hitting on that master and apprentice thing, there's no way we're not going to get some Anakin Ahsoka, whether it's Force Ghost, flashback, you know, something. Like, we gotta...
Yeah.
You know, we gotta get it.
I'm not somebody who wants, like, forced cameos and flashbacks, but...
No, but I feel like this time Vision, the story...
Whether it's a Vision... Yeah, exactly. Whether it's a Vision or some kind of flashback to a lesson they had, like in Kenobi, that was well done, I think.
Oh, that was the best. I know I'm biased,
any of those things would be great.
That was the best. and the return of the space mullet. I mean, come on, everyone was loving that.
Yep.
But yeah, no, I mean, I feel like with this story, like I said before, you can't really tell Ahsoka's story without Anakin, so you know it's totally justified. Yep. In the narrative, and I don't think it would be a forced cameo. And then, like, remember when they were promoting Obi-Wan and, like, that interviewer asked Hayden, they're like, oh, so are you filming Ahsoka? And he, like, got a big grin on his face. He's like, I can't answer that question, or, like,
yeah,
whatever.
Exactly.
So you know, it's kind of like Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield in No Way Home. Like, we know he's gonna be in it. It's just a matter of how much and in what like in what context.
Yeah.
Dennis, how about you?
So what was the question again?
Like, what are you most looking forward to in the series? Like, what do you want the series to do, basically?
I'm a real sucker for the World Between Worlds.
Okay.
Ever since that concept came into being, I know some people are like, oh, I don't like that because then it can change the past and the future and all that, and it's getting a little too less Star Wars-y. But honestly, I think that Star Wars has enough room in the entire story and the franchise to be able to utilize that. And when Dave Filoni and George Lucas kind of brought that, well, I guess mostly Dave Filoni brought that into the forefront with Rebels, I thought it was just a really interesting way to expand the entire universe. And that, yes, things can change, but there is this world between worlds where, you know, you can hear the voices of Jedi past, of Jedi future, of Jedi present. Like, you know, in Rebels, we could hear Kylo talking, we could hear Rey talking, we could hear all sorts of things, in which, you know, it just really allows us to see where these stories can go. And it's almost an endless opportunity to be able to bring in different stories. And I don't want to make it sound like they're trying to make it like the Marvel Cinematic Universe or the Mandoverse, which very well may be, and I'm fine with that. And some people may not like that, but in my opinion, I really like this concept because it brings in things that all sorts of different people throughout the whole franchise love. You got the people who love the EU, right? They love Thrawn, and that's when he was introduced. We're going to see Thrawn here in the Ahsoka series. We're going to understand in live action how the World Between Worlds works instead of just in the animated series. And so it just expands that and broadens our horizons and understanding how this all functions together. And so I really just am interested to see how they bring that into the storyline, right? So you have all these different new characters, but you have Thrawn and you have Ahsoka and you have Sabine and everything that's pretty much wrapping up what happened at the end of Rebels and moving it forward. I know that you guys have seen some of those clips where, like, it's literally shot for shot with Ahsoka and Sabine, or the ship of Ahsoka flying over Lothal. And Sabine looking out on it. It's pretty much like a picking up of where we left off, except in live action. And mm-hmm. I'm really interested to know, like, what happened to Thrawn? What happened to Ezra, right? How did they survive this light speed into the outer regions, right? What is going on? And I don't really know where it's going because I haven't looked at a lot of spoilers or anything like that. So I'm really just interested to see what direction this is going. But the World Between Worlds is my main focus because I just think it's so mystical and so, I don't know, spiritual on some way. And I really think that harkens back to how George Lucas started Star Wars to begin with, right? He looked into world religions. He looked into philosophy, Joseph Campbell, everything that related to how he can bring people from all different cultures and all different parts of the globe to love one specific thing because it resonates with them. And I just think that's so cool.
All right. So what's been your favorite so far of like the released footage, like a trailer, you know, like sections of footage? I know, Dennis, you just touched on this a little bit, or at least that you enjoyed it. But like Kyle, what like what's been, or your reaction to the footage, even like, you know, the little bits that we've gotten so far?
It's looked really promising, especially when you're looking at the effects and the editing, and the color grading has improved just with Hera alone. I mean, the first teaser spot you saw her in, and then some of those EW photos, the color looked a little off. And I think each trailer they've gotten progressively better, which is amazing. And there's a lot of people right now on Twitter or X or whatever it's called.
Can we refer it to it as Twitter for the rest of our lives?
Yeah.
I don't want our listeners to think we're talking about a porno website.
The bird app.
Exactly.
The bird. Yeah,
the bird app. on the bird app right now, there's a lot of fake filmmakers and people who think they understand filmmaking. I'm calling them out right now. I wish I had all their Twitter handles, but there's a lot of people reacting to that clip they released from Ahsoka that I thought was awesome. And they're like, oh, this show looks so gray. Like everything just looks so gray. There's no movement. Like it's literally on Corellia. It's a shipyard.
That 45-second clip with Hera stop! It looks awesome.
Yeah, like the shots in the air look amazing. Like there's a huge blue sky behind them. The lighting reacts off the Phantom very well. And in the shipyard, it's a bright day. It doesn't look that gray. And if you compare it to the way Corellia looked in Solo, it's miles better. So that's what just really frustrates. Like, sometimes I just have to kind of remove myself from the bird app because there's just people who think they understand anything about filmmaking, and it goes both ways. It goes with people who like we all know the most famous Star Wars YouTuber who just bows down to anything Lucas created and hates everything Disney's made. And that just gets really frustrating, but I think the footage has looked great. I really wish they chose different dialogue for some of them. A little bit seems kind of wooden, like with Hera and Ahsoka, not Hera, Sabine and Ahsoka. Like they probably should have chosen more dynamic dialogue to promote the show.
Oh, maybe they don't want to give too much away though.
Well, yeah, but these are like, you kind of have to get an entire new audience acclimated to these characters and get them invested.
Well, that's true like, too. I didn't think of it that way.
Every spot saying ready, ready, ready. Like it doesn't do much for people who don't already have an emotional attachment to those characters. So I think besides that minor complaint, I'm really excited for it. Shin and Baylan look amazing. I can already tell Shin's going to be like a fan favorite.
Yeah, I agree.
Ventress vibes there.
Yes, totally.
Absolutely. Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, David, I think Kyle would agree with this. I think all of us agree with this. That latest one where it's Hera and Chopper and it flying the ship. I mean, it is literally point by point. It's Rebels. It's absolutely Rebels. And I think, you know, forgive me for the name. I don't know the name of Obi-Wan Kenobi's wife who plays Hera. Who is it, Kyle?
Mary Elizabeth Winstead.
There you go. So she is personifying Hera to the T, even in the way that she says things, the inflections of her voice, just from that small clip, I can tell I'm already hooked. I already know this is absolutely live action Rebels. I love Chopper. I love the way they animated him, you know, keep your lid on Chop. Like that's absolutely what I've just been reviewing, right? In watching Rebels.
I love the way he's using his arm and he's banging on the ship and pointing up and he's like going, Like he's pointing up, out. That was hilarious.
I know.
I really wonder, maybe when we see behind the scenes, eventually when Ahsoka's done, right, and they send us, like, they show us the behind the scenes, you know, Disney gallery, whatever they're going to call it. I really wonder if Dave Filoni is voicing Chopper again.
You know, I was just going to say, I mean, he's got to be. It sounds like it.
I mean, it's so fun. Like, that's how I can describe it. Like, honestly, I know there's going to be really emotional moments for everybody throughout this whole series. But the fun part of it, the something that just brings a huge smile to your face, is that that's the kind of reaction you want. And I think, in my opinion, I think that this is kind of like a, not necessarily a test, but almost like a, let's see how Dave Filoni does with this. And if this has resounding applause and everybody loves it, then there's no question that the movie that he's working on is going to be doing, is going to go well.
Well, I mean, they already gave him a movie, though, so it's not like, I don't think they're going to take...
No, I don't think they would take it away. No, I'm not saying that. I just think that it's one of those kind of like, you know, let's see how this goes, not necessarily meaning we're going to scrap it if it doesn't go the way we planned, but almost like, okay, we have trust in Dave Filoni, right? And so we know that he's going to do this the way that Star Wars fans will appreciate and see the detail that he puts into everything. And so I think that's something that's really going to come to the forefront when we watch this, is that there's going to be people out there who hate it. There's going to be people out there, like Kyle said, who are going to just bash it or whatever. But those people are really the minority. They have the loudest voice, but they're not in the majority.
Right. They're not the majority. And the thing is,
as sad as it sounds, even if Ahsoka bombs with like the majority of the fan base, Dave's not going to get, he's not going to get blamed. They're going to blame it on Disney. Disney gets blamed for everything, even when it's the filmmaker. And they have their faults, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's a lot wrong with the Disney Plus format and the stories that have been told so far between Star Wars and Marvel. But Disney knows this is not a Rian Johnson situation. Like, he got solely blamed for The Last Jedi. Mm-hmm. And they basically are scrapping his three movies. Like, let's just be honest. I don't think those will happen unless it's a decade from now and The Last Jedi hate is kind of washed away like the prequels did. But regardless, I think Dave is getting that movie.
I think I've seen something online where it was just kind of like as a humorous meme, but it was essentially like, you know, don't worry Rey, or don't worry Daisy Ridley. Someone, the fan base, I wouldn't say the majority, but the toxic fan base will find somebody else to hate in 10 years and you'll be the loved one, just like Anakin is now, you know? And while that may be potentially true, like, I honestly try not to pay attention to any of that, because you like what you like, you love what you love, and whatever somebody else's opinion is, it's just their opinion. Like, you know, the majority of us, you know, gravitate towards one thing or the next, but we all still have this common bond that it's all related under the banner of Star Wars.
Absolutely. 100%. All right, so how about overall predictions for the show itself? I think this is a hard one for me, like, because I think part of the reason I enjoyed the sequel trilogy was because I had no expectations. I was just happy to get sequels and, you know, to see Han and Leia on screen again, and, you know, to see everybody back and Chewie and the Falcon and whatever. Like, part of me, and like, I don't do spoilers, and I just kind of, I can just go into it and enjoy it. And so it's hard for me. I know you guys are better at predicting than I am, and then I kind of just jump on your bandwagon and I'm like, oh yeah, that sounds cool. Like, yeah, but I mean, I want to see, like, you know, some kind of flashback with Anakin, obviously, not just because of my love for Anakin Skywalker, but because, like we had stated before, Anakin is such an essential part of Ahsoka's story. I think it would be a disservice to the show if he's not in it at some point. And then that trailer that they released recently with Hayden saying some of the lines from the Clone Wars, like, it just kind of solidifies it for me. It's like, okay, I really need this. I want to see Anakin in this show. I'm not sure if I want Force Ghost Anakin, because, like, that's opening up a whole nother can of worms and whatever, but like, I don't know, we'll see. But like, Kyle, what I don't know, give me some of your predictions for the show. Like, what do you want to see? Like, what do you think we're gonna see? Maybe something you want to see that you think we're not gonna see. You know, you're the filmmaker after all.
I think this show is probably gonna start off, and I guess we can just cover the next segment here too with what we think will happen by the episode. Mm-hmm. I think episodes 1 through 2, it's probably gonna start off with the trailers where Baylan and Shin are breaking Morgan Elsbeth out of the New Republic jail on that ship. Kind of like a la A New Hope. And I think that's where we're gonna start. We're going to see quite a bit of Sabine, probably just on Lothal, probably kind of still upset and reeling and losing Ezra. And I think Ahsoka, that whole temple thing, fighting the HK droids, I think that'll all be episode 1. And then 2 will probably be like them reuniting and meeting Hera and stuff like that, if I had to guess, and then finding Merrick. But overall for the show, I think this is kind of going to end with like an oh shit moment. Like Thrawn gets back from the new beyond, because we know there's a movie. So that's kind of just an indicator, right, that Thrawn's not dying in the show and he's probably not going to be in it a whole lot. I could be completely off base with that, but I think the show ends with him getting out of the new beyond or whatever they're calling it. I don't know if there's an official name, but he'll escape back into the main galaxy with forces and Elsbeth and Baylan and Shin. And it kind of ends like, ah, oh, shit, we, you know, like Empire Strikes Back, we just kind of lost, but at least we have each other. And I think that's where we'll probably see Zeb in the end. Maybe he hears that Ezra's back and they found him, and we kind of get a shot at the Ghost Crew without Kanan. I think that's kind of how the show goes. So it'll just be like a whirlwind adventure to find Pergil and get out there and try to stop Baylan and Shin from going out there with Morgan Elsbeth. But yeah, that's where I see it going.
I like how she's going to be like a main character of this show. Cause like, yeah, given that appearance in the Mandalorian episode, like I never would have guessed that she would have been connected to all of this. You know what I mean?
Like, oh yeah, not at all.
I don't know why. Like, I took her as a one-off villain or whatever, and then, you know, Ahsoka defeated her, found out where Admiral Thrawn was, or at least, you know, she gave her some kind of information, and then that was it. Like, but the fact that they're bringing her back for this show, and like, I don't know. I really was a big surprise to me, and like a very welcome surprise to me. Like, I think it's cool because we already kind of know her a little bit, and now she's going to be in this show also. So,
yep,
I'm definitely excited to see that. Dennis, how about you? What are you?
So kind of thinking, bouncing off of what you just said, that, I mean, clearly when we saw her ask, you know, where's Thrawn? Like, she didn't, I mean, I wouldn't expect Ahsoka to kill her or anything, but like, clearly she's still alive. So she must've just got some info and left, but I don't really have a whole lot of big predictions or anything. Like you kind of said, I'm going into this without trying to have any high expectations and just enjoying it for what it is and the storytelling that Dave's bringing us. But I see some wild theories out there, which I absolutely do not believe. I think, you know, people are like, oh yeah, the Inquisitor is Ezra's clone or something. I'm like, get out of here. Like, I know Star Wars has been a little wonky with cloning and things of that nature, but I really don't think that's where we're going. I think this is a real Inquisitor trying to understand who he is. I think that if we don't know yet, learning about that is exciting and more exciting than trying to come up with these wild theories that just won't pan out, in my opinion. You know, trying to understand kind of where, like I said earlier, where Ezra and Thrawn are, how they got to that area, how they're back now. Kyle touched on Thrawn coming back at some point, whether that's at the end of this season or whether that's, you know, in the next season or something, maybe like a cliffhanger. I don't really know how it's going to go. And I'm just excited to see where it goes.
No, I know they got eaten by the space whale.
The space whales, right? The Pergils, right? That's another thing.
They got eaten. They're done.
They didn't get eaten. They didn't.
They're dead.
Ezra has this connection, right, with the natural world that we've seen in Rebels. And I really enjoy that aspect of him and his character. And in this specific situation, like, I wonder, right, because we saw like a shadow of the Purrgil in Mandalorian, right, when they're going through hyperspace.
But did we did.
Grogu saw it, and we
Grogu,
all saw it.
Grogu did, but Mando didn't see it, so it didn't.
No,
happen.
Mando. I didn't say Mando see it. I said that we saw it in the show, right? So I know. Everybody just looked at that, right?
I'm being devil's advocate here.
And I'm excited to see how they look in live action. I know it's going to be great, and if we see them, great. If we don't, and it's not essentially an essential part of the story, but I feel like it's something that I'm really looking forward to, and whatever happens, happens. And I think I'm just going to love it.
We're
going to
see them. Aren't they in that one trailer, like with Ahsoka and
We've seen Purrgil.
Right. Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, okay. I'm pretty sure. Yeah.
Well, then we will. And I'm interested to see how that translates into live action, you know, and I'm not sure it's going to be anything crazy or anything like, wow, you know, they look different or something, but I'm really interested to see in that whole dynamic how this show goes, right? Because everybody always has these ideas of this is how it's going to go, this is how I think it's going to happen, and then it completely like turns it over. Like when we watch Book of Boba Fett, how many people thought it was going to go the way it went? Most people, like they predicted the beginning, you know, him crawling out of the Sarlacc, but after that, most people were like, I didn't think this was going this direction at all, right? His whole Tusken, you know, kind of upbringing and all that. It was
and
a
the
very
Power
different
Rangers
thing. Yeah, and the scooters or whatever. Like, some people didn't like that, and that's fine. But
hey,
I did predict
he was going to ride the Rancor, though. I did predict that.
Yeah, most people did want to see that because they're like, come on, he's got to do something.
As soon as they, yeah. Well, truthfully, I didn't know if it was going to happen in Book of Boba Fett or if they would save it for like Mando season 3. But obviously they did it in the end of Book of Boba Fett.
And in this case with the Ahsoka series, I don't know what to expect. And I think that's the most exciting part is I want to see what happens. And I don't want to be kind of like, oh, yeah, they completely went with all of the predictions that I had in my head or all the expectations, because that's boring to me. I want to be excited.
All right. Well, to finish up here, I want to do, and this is something Kyle and I have been talking about, and I think I want to add to every show. So we're going to do like a rapid fire round. And for tonight's episode, we're going to do rapid fire of the likelihood of cameos in the Ahsoka series. So I want you guys, we're going from 0 to 100% chance. All right. And just whatever is in your brain, like kind of right away, like quickly, I want you to say. All right. So we're going to start off with my favorite, because I'm the host, Anakin Skywalker.
100.
100.
I was going to beat both 100%. Of you if you didn't say 100, but yeah. I believe there is a 125% chance that Hayden Christensen... Now, I think it would be really cool. No, I'm going to add this later. All right. So, all right. So, again, rapid fire. Captain Rex.
I'm going to say 50. I was going to say 50-50. Like, it could happen. It might not.
Okay. Kyle, what did you say?
60. I think it'll be something like, you know, in season 1 where he was kind of working with the Rebellion a little bit and he met Ahsoka. I think it'll be something kind of like that. So I'd say 60%.
I was going to say since Rex and Ahsoka have such a special bond, I was going to go like 75%. And, you know, that's what I was going to say. All right. How about the villainous traitor, Barriss Offee?
0.
Is she?
I'm going to say 30%.
Is she dead?
She's. By this point, I thought she was.
Luminara is.
She's dead. I don't think Barriss is dead. We don't know what she's. Dave's been kind of saving that for something.
I wonder if she's an Inquisitor.
There you go. She's the Inquisitor in the trailer.
No, not that one, because I think that's a male. But honestly, like, she may be.
Oh, right. That Inquisitor is Snoke. I forgot.
Well, that Inquisitor is also this rapid fire is definitely not rapid.
I know. I'm sorry. Well, it's us, so I didn't really think it was gonna be, but you know.
It's weird because that Inquisitor is played by a man in some scenes, but David, you remember from Celebration, Ming-Q, who's the stunt coordinator, she's also playing Merrick.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I'm not really sure how that's gonna work. But Dennis, you said 0%. I'm gonna go with 30% chance, but 100% her name will be mentioned. And if she's not in this season, she'll be in season two. I personally think that this season's a little too busy for something like Bears, which is why I think we'll have a name drop of her. But yeah, I think more likely than not, season two, she would be in there.
So a name drop, but not a cameo.
Yeah.
All right, I think I'm going to lean in with Kyle on this one. I'll go for the name drop. All right, how about Mr. Zeb?
I want to say 100.
90. I'm going to say 90. I think they've
tried him already, and people loved it.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, I figured, like, when he showed up in Mando, it was like kind of like the test run to see if,
and
you know.
And that's what I'm leaning towards, but part of me also thinks he was thrown in season three because there wasn't room in Ahsoka. Like, that's where that 10% of doubt is coming for me. But I think they would be foolish to pass up on having a reunion at the end of the season.
The
like,
full ghost
like I said, I'm expecting... Right. Minus Kanan. I'm expecting
poor Kanan.
I'm expecting to have kind of like an Empire Strikes Back ending, like an oh shit we lost thing, but at least we have each other.
Right. Okay.
And that's why I think we'll see Zeb coming at the end. Yeah, I'll say 90%.
Okay.
All right. How about everyone's favorite pirate, Hondo?
I want to give that a high percentage, but I think. Because I love Hondo, but I think he's going to honestly show up more in Skeleton Crew than he does in Ahsoka.
Give us a number, because I feel the same way.
20%.
Yeah, I'm going to say 30, but I agree with you. I think he's for Skeleton Crew.
I was going to say 50 only because he's on the Disney payroll.
you mean in Batu?
No, but he's a Disney... He's Pete.
Jim Cummings is like a Disney legend.
Like he's a Disney legend, exactly. So there would be
okay. So maybe okay. I'm gonna change my thing. So cameo.
No, change these.
Okay, fine. I'll keep it at 20%, but I'm saying it's gonna be a hologram. It's not gonna be him in real life.
All right. And how old is Hondo?
Like 60, 70, probably.
Right. Exactly.
Age means nothing to a pirate.
Well, there you go. Exactly. All right. How about Ryder Azadi?
100.
Okay. You need to refresh my memory on that. I don't recognize that name.
Ryder, he's voiced by... why can't I remember the name? I'm so bad with this lately. He's voiced by the same guy who voices Savage Opress. He's that... He's got the kind of rice hat on. He knew Ezra. He's the one who told Ezra that his parents died.
Oh, I see. Okay.
Gray hair. He was a former governor of Lothal.
Okay. All right. I don't know. I'm just gut feeling a zero.
Okay.
Kyle.
100. I think he's 100% in this.
All right.
They'll be on Lothal. There's no reason why he wouldn't be on there.
That's okay. Fair. All right. I was going to go with 50, but all right. I understand your logic.
Clancy Brown.
Okay,
he also played
you go.
That demon looking creature from the Prison Break episode of Mando.
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, okay.
All right. So he's in the family too. All right. So
yeah.
I'll stick to 50 because no change these. That's my own rule. How about Agent Callus? Everyone's favorite double agent.
Isn't he with Zeb right now?
I was going to say, I'm going to go pretty high on that one. I'm going to go 75 to 80%. I feel like Dave really likes that character and would throw him in there.
I would say a name drop of about 80%, but I don't think we're going to see him.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm going to say 20%. I think just from like a PR perspective, I don't know how they're going to tackle Kallus being white, but the voice actor being black. I don't know how they're going to tackle that. I don't think they feel like they. I don't think they feel like dealing with that right now.
Wait, what?
Unless they do a voiceover. Yeah, the Kallus is obviously white in the show.
Correct.
But it's genius how the voice actor is black. Like he loves that. So I don't know if they.
I don't know if they
feel like tackling that right now. Yeah.
No, probably not. And that's a topic for another time. All right. How about Fen Rao?
Hmm.
80. I want to say 80. He's like one of those sleeper candidates that could just be with the New Republic on a ship and help Sabine with something. And I say I go that high because he was rumored to be in Mando season 3 by a very reliable person, and that didn't pan out. So I'm assuming he's kind of like cut from that and placed into this. So I would say 80.
Interesting.
Okay. I'm going to go very, very safe. I'm going to go 50.
Yeah, I'll go with 50 also. How about Bendu?
Oh, gosh. I love Bendu, but I honestly, I'd love to see it, but I don't think so. I'm going to go 0.
Kyle?
Yeah, I'm going low. I'm going to say 15. I love Bendu, and I love that. I don't know if you guys ever saw back when Dave Filoni used to post on Facebook, he put a concept art that he drew of Ahsoka talking to Bendu. And this was this cut scene that was supposed to play before they went to Malachor. And basically, Bendu, have you guys seen this?
Mm-hmm. I think I did a long while back.
Well, just to refresh, so the dialogue goes something along the lines of Ahsoka like asking if she should go, what to expect, and Bendu basically says like, you're gonna die. Like, I'm not saying you're going to, but you're going to. And I thought it was a great scene. I see why it was cut, but yeah, I don't see him being in this. I would say 15%, as much as I would love to see him though.
Mm-hmm.
All right, yeah, I mean, I was gonna say 0 only because I feel like there's, like you mentioned before, there's so much going on already in this show, and it's only 8 episodes.
Right. It can't fit all that in without people yelling at him saying fan service.
Why we can't get 12, I'll never know, but that's okay.
Want me to really quick, while we're on the topic, want me to read, it'll take 20 seconds, that dialogue would have said. So Bendu says, you are set on this confrontation then. Ahsoka, I have to know the truth. So be it, but understand this much will change as a result of this encounter, including you. Isn't that true of all things as time advances? Bendu says, my dear, when I say change, I mean death. So I will die? Will you? I didn't know that. Goodbye then, Ahsoka Tano, former Jedi Knight.
Yeah, I did see that. I remember that last part when you said it. It reminded me of it. I don't think we're ready to talk about this and have this conversation, but like, people have talked about how you can hear Ahsoka's voice in The Rise of Skywalker, and that may not be that she's dead at that point, but like, at some point, this is not a Chewie R2 moment. Like, I think she is going to pass away at some point.
No, she's not.
Everybody that we love eventually does, unfortunately.
Ahsoka lives forever.
Okay.
Uh-huh. She lives in all of us. That's all that matters.
That's, there you go. Well, she lives in all of us, right?
That's very true. Thank you, Ashley. All right. How about As Morgan?
No way. I mean, As Morgan was like a comic relief of Rebels and this disgusting guy who just constantly stuffs his face. Basically the Trump of Star Wars. It's not going to happen.
The okay? Trump of Star Wars. Wow. That is.
Oh, my God. He went there.
Don't you want to? What do I like you very much?
I'm pretty sure we could pick a different character for that, but
sorry, that's what came into my mind. I don't apologize for that, actually. Never mind.
So that means you're at 0% for that one?
Yeah. No, I'm at -0. Yeah.
Kyle, what about you?
I put this one in there because I think his character is just hilarious. I'm going to go with 1,000% chance. He's going to be in every episode. He's going to be right there with, I mean, and he's actually in the trailers. You just don't realize it. He's like right there in the cockpit with Huyang and Ahsoka, and they just don't want you to know it yet. Like, I'm going full as Morgan Sweep. No
as Morgan,
chance
he isn't. As Morgan's going to be eating the, you like the Mandalorian?
Just to piss Dennis off, I'm going to say 85%.
It doesn't piss me off. Man, if this happens, I'm going to be on the floor laughing.
I love it. I can't wait for when it does happen, because Kyle's right. He's exactly in the trailer. He's totally in the trailer. All right, how about Visago?
Okay, if we have Visago, then we can't have Hondo. It's one or the other.
Unless they're together. I mean,
that would be weird, but it's possible, I suppose.
Like, Hondo and As Morgan teamed up, even though they were enemies. So I would say like 30%. I love Visago. I think he's a great character. He's somebody I can see like them interacting with and passing on Lothal. Or they need a part for a ship or something, and then they know like a pirate who can smuggle it for them. It's Visago.
Right. I mean, unless they go back to Tatooine and get Pelimoto to.
Oh,
get him
God,
apart or
please
something.
No more Tatooine. Like,
I had to say that just for your benefit, Kyle.
Back to Jakku? Like, really, that's how I feel right now.
Yeah,
I know,
exactly.
but
why do we keep going back to Jakku?
But it's funny because we really only go back to Tatooine.
We do.
No, seriously. And, like, they haven't made it look good in many of the TV shows. Like, it looked awful in Boba Fett. It looked pretty bad in Kenobi. I don't know. I just... They need to get Tatooine a rest.
That's because they don't film it in Tunisia anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, when they filmed it in Tunisia, it looked really good.
You know who I can guarantee you we're going to see?
Well, I was going to say, are there any other cameos that you guys are, like, hoping for?
Yeah. Ezra Jabba Bridger.
I mean, does that count as a cameo, though? He's in the trailer.
Well, I was going to say just Jabba, but I wanted to make sure you guys understood what I meant.
You mean Lando Calrissian?
Oh, yeah, Lando Calrissian, that's right.
I think a sleeper pick would be Darth Maul. That's like ultimate sleeper pick. I'd say 40% chance. That's something where she might be in the world between worlds or is having a vision. She remembers that confrontation, and what if her and Anakin went to visit Maul together or something like that, or her and Obi-Wan. That's my sleeper pick that I didn't really think of, but just kind of occurred to me.
Well, we all know if that's the case, it's going to be Sam Witwer, our other Darth Maul, based upon his recent social media posting. So,
but it's not recent. It was like 2 years ago now.
I don't know. The internet's forever, man.
Yeah, I know, but so is Star Wars, and so is Ahsoka. Because she's not gonna die. Let's bring it back to that.
Yeah, but so yeah, I think a lot of different options for cameos, or at least some kind of name drops. But honestly, the more Chopper I see, the happier I'll be.
Yep.
Well, he's a main character, so he'll be in every episode.
My favorite murder robot.
Nah, he'll be in every episode. I'm pretty sure. All right, so that's going to wrap up our Ahsoka TV series preview episode tonight. Again, it premieres Tuesday, August 22nd, not on Wednesday. Disney has, backtracked on that, and we're happier because we don't have to wake up at 3 in the morning.
Amen.
Dennis, talk to us about our social media accounts.
All right. Well, if you'd like to follow us, Jawa Jabber can be found on the Bird app. It can be found on Instagram. It can be found on Facebook. Just give us a shout out if you like the episodes that we're putting out there. If you want to email us, you can email us at jabberingjawas@gmail.com. And we'd love to be able to read your comments on the show. So please go ahead and reach out.
All right. Yeah, we've got a lot of awesome content coming up with the Ahsoka series. We'll be back to our weekly episodes, hopefully, our recap episodes. But for now, this is going to do it for tonight. For Kenobi, Matt the Radar Technician, Dennis the Phantom Menace, I am your Supreme Leader, David Wren. Thank you very much for listening, and may the Force be with you always. That was This Is the Way, right?
This is the way.
This is the way.
And I'll say it for Matt. This is the way.